of Central Massachusetts, in the rolling hills of Grafton. Welcome to the Sacred Heart Music Hour. Live from the Sacred Heart Radio Network studio, here is your host, Susan Bailey.
Hi, everyone. This is Susan, your host for the Sacred Heart Music Hour. Welcome. We have a wonderful guest tonight who I'll share with you in just a moment. First of all, I'd like to talk about our sponsor, Grapevine Magazine. It is the online magazine for and about Catholic performing artists, such as the one we're speaking with in just a moment. Grapevine can be found at gvonline.net, and you can also hear the Grapevine News Minute podcast there. Just click on the Breaking News button, and you can also hear it on the Catholic Music Express podcast, hosted by our own Jim O'Mara at catholicmusicexpress.com. During our program today, I will be accepting emails with any questions or comments you might have for our guest. Write me at susan@gvonline.net. That's susan@gvonline.net. And my email is right here in front of me. I'm right in front of the computer, so as soon as your questions or comments come in, I can read them on the air. And I'll mention this throughout the hour because I'd really like to have your participation. Now, let's introduce our guest. She has been singing all of her life. Her music has impacted many, and it has a theme of healing. She's performed in pageants and taught music and voice and serves as a cantor and sings at numerous church events. She's also composed several of her own songs. She has two albums out, Prayerful Hearts and Charmaine, which is her newest album, and she recently was a singer in the band John Six. She currently travels as a concert musician and workshop clinician, performing and speaking at music and liturgy conferences. She's a member of the United Catholic Music and Video Association and the Catholic Association of Music. Her music ministry complements her first calling of being a wife and mother. She lives on the waterfront in Florida with her husband and two children, and she is Charmaine Adams. Hi, Charmaine. How are you?
Hi, Susan. I'm doing good. Thanks for asking, and thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, well, we're delighted to have you. Normally, we would be featuring Charmaine's music tonight, but unfortunately, due to a glitch, we don't have her CD. So we're going to fill the hour with talk. I'm sure that it will be just as interesting to you. And what you can do is visit her website at www.charmaine.com. It's spelled SHARMANE.com, where you can listen to music samples, or you can go to the CatholicMusicNetwork.com and listen to samples there. She has a lovely voice, and I know that you would enjoy her music greatly. So, Charmaine, let's get into the questions for the evening. Can you tell our listeners something about your ministry?
Sure. Actually, my ministry started back in 2002 with the Prayerful Hearts album, and that album was basically done for the purpose of a Benedictine monastery in Oklahoma. They're located in Hulbert, Oklahoma, but they came from Fauconbeau, France, and I wanted to do something to help the monastery out by raising funds, because they're wanting to raise money to build the largest Benedictine monastery in the United States. And so God had really pressed on my heart to use my talent, and in doing so, I started writing music from traditional Catholic prayers that I wrote to song. And Prayerful Hearts was just, it's so dear to me, because my children were very young at that time, and I thought it would be really neat to show Catholics and non-Catholics where we got these great prayers from, such great history. And so I have children, even my own, reciting prayers before each song. And then basically my music ministry took off after that. God so blessed me, and I've been traveling and doing interviews and really concentrating on the Catholic music side since then.
That sounds great. Of the prayers that you did, can you tell us which prayers that you actually did put to song?
Sure. Prayer to St. Michael, which is kind of upbeat. I did the Angelus, Decade of the Rosary, And then I also have the Angel of God prayer, which is so sweet. The children are singing in the background. Let's see, what other one? Act of Contrition, which is great, because whenever I actually go to confession and I'm in the confessional, I always sing the Act of Contrition, which is a healing type of thing for me.
Mm.
So I'm trying to think what else. I have Open My Eyes, which mm-hmm. Was done by Oregon Catholic Press, Jesse mm-hmm. Manabusi.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some that are very familiar to people, but also new stuff, but prayers that we all know, that we've known forever.
Take away the sin of the world. take away the sin of the world, the sin of the world, Lamb of God, now and forever, you will always be Lamb of God, take away
the Decade of the Rosary. Have you ever sung the entire Rosary, or have you just sung the Decade with people?
No, I've actually done. I did it a couple of months ago at the Midwest Catholic Family Conference.
Wow.
in Kansas, Wichita, Kansas, and I did it for 700 children.
Wow!
And I did it three separate times, and it was so lovely. It was beautiful. We did a living Rosary, and what I did was I would teach them. You know, of course. I think you and I were talking about this at one point in time, but
mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, listen to the music, and as you get comfortable, then you can start singing along. And they really got into the prayer and these beautiful voices of children of all ages, from 3 years old to 19 years old. That's why they broke it up into separate groups for different
mm-hmm.
age groups, but it was so beautiful to hear their voices, and it just sounded so angelic. So, yes, I have.
They didn't find it tedious or boring or anything. They just really got into the spirit of the thing.
They really did. And what I do is I put a PowerPoint presentation up there of the mysteries. So while we're singing it, we have the mysteries that come up on the PowerPoint so that they can focus on that. And it's really been a hit, and I just the feedback on it from parents and children have been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. Well, that's terrific. Now this latest album that you put out, Charmaine, can you tell us something about that?
Sure. I would love to. Prayerful Hearts is a little bit different than Charmaine. Prayerful Hearts is great because it really focuses on all age groups, and it's great to give as Christmas gifts or First Holy Communion and baptism gifts so that you can teach children to learn prayers, or people that have been away from the church for a long time or are coming back into the church, or even new candidates can learn their prayers. Charmaine was actually, God had really pressed me into doing this new album, and it's more of inspirational songs that were done. I had various beautiful writers on the CD, and I'm just so happy with it. One of the songs that I wrote on there was called is called Lamb of God, and it talks about the Eucharist, and it's just that one song was what made me say, okay, it's time to do another CD.
Wow.
And then there's another song on there that I had an amazing experience called So My Soul. And while I was in the booth, in the sound booth, you know how, I don't know if everybody knows this, but you first record as the musicians, they come in and you kind of arrange it and you hash out all the instrumental parts.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go in and you lay your vocals. And
right.
While I was laying down my track for vocals on So My Soul, I just wasn't feeling it, and I felt like, gosh, you know, I just don't know about this. And my producer, Robert Bryan, who is so dear to my heart, he came in and he said, you know what, I'll be right back. And he left and he came back and he turned out all the lights in the sound booth. Mm. And we always prayed beforehand every time we had a recording session. But when he did come in and did that, he turned off all the lights and we prayed, I knew that it was just God and I there. Mm. And I felt the Holy Spirit and I knew that it didn't matter. It was just God and I could do this. And so it was something that I can't even describe. It was heaven on earth.
Wow.
And that song has been so dear to my heart ever since.
And
so I really wish we could hear it tonight, because I just would love for everybody to hear it right now.
Well, we may, because I just got an email from Gary, our Savior. Well, not
oh.
our Savior, but
Gary!
Our Savior.
I love Gary!
And
thank
he's
you!
He's attempting to send some MP3s, so he's going to let me know when we're going to be able to cue a song. So hopefully
God
we'll get
him
in the hours.
God is so good with his miracles. God
is
so good.
Sufficiency. and for me, till I am only a child of God.
I wanted to get back and talk about singing in the booth. I mean, a lot of our listeners are artists and have been through this experience. I know that when I was recording my Sung Rosary project, the attacks were enormous, just really enormous, and I was fortunate to be working with very prayerful and spiritual people, Bill and Maureen Hayes, who really, we prayed through it, we talked through it. In fact, she told me just today that after I had left for the weekend, she received totally unsolicited a beautiful rosary in the mail.
Oh, gosh.
So that tells me that it's like, okay, just trust.
What you're doing is right. That's right. Exactly. Just trusting in God and knowing that you are doing it for the right reasons, and you know, he will bless you and give you peace.
Right.
So that's absolutely, I feel 100% about that, and just surrender. Surrender is everything.
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly is. I've just gotten a message from Gary, and just to let our listeners know that while we won't have songs during the live broadcast tonight, that when the broadcast is archived as a podcast, that there will be songs on the podcast. So we will talk about the songs during the program tonight, and then you should go during the week and listen to the podcast so that you can listen to the songs, because Charmaine has beautiful, beautiful music and really deserves a listen.
Oh, thank you. I don't give any credit to myself, though. It's all from God above. Mm-hmm. I'm the body. I'm just the body, and I'm the vessel.
Yep, I hear you.
So he does it all, and I give all the glory to him for all of that. So.
Yep, absolutely.
I call it his music.
It is his music. It's hard sometimes because it's so personal to us, and you know, I know of a lot of artists that refer to their music as their children, and it is like that. You feel like you're giving birth sometimes when you're doing an album, and sometimes it's harder to give birth to an album than it is to give birth to a child. I swear.
Right. Well, because you know what, it takes 9 months, and sometimes record projects can go on for a year, 2 years at a time, or whatever.
Absolutely.
So the hours that you put into it, you just, you know, that's that whole surrendering thing, saying it's not my time, it's yours.
That's right. Yeah.
And I do have to say something about that. I'm revamping my whole website, and I was really, really praying that the website would be revamped by this weekend, but you know, I just had to throw my hands up and say, you know, I'm not in control, and there's just time, and you know, it's in his timing, and so everybody will just have to go on probably in about a week or 2 weeks and check out the new site.
That's right. The old site is still there, and it's www.charmaine.com, and it is a very nice site, but we're looking forward to the new site, and we'll certainly be checking it out. Well, let's talk about one of the songs. We've already talked about The Lamb of God, and that's the first song on the album. The second song on the album is called With Every Breath, and can you tell us something about that?
Yes, that's a great song because it's giving alleluia and praise, singing alleluia to God, giving him praise from the heavens to the earth, and it's singing with the angels, and it's a great upbeat song that just knowing that we are all here on earth and we are all supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to have one focus and know that, you know, everything comes from God, and trusting and knowing that every breath that we have comes straight from him. So it's one of my favorites on the album, and I think that the listeners will love it as well.
Sounds good. Can you tell us about your faith journey, how it began? Are you a cradle Catholic or a convert, and where you're at now?
Great question, because I love talking about this. Mm-hmm. although I am a cradle Catholic, I have not always been strong in my spirituality. Actually, about probably 8 or 9 years ago, I had a conversion. And a lot of people think conversions, different conversions to different people can happen. Just like, you know, we are all in a conversion experience through our spirituality.
That's right.
You know, we're all trying to work to be closer to God. And some people, you know, have this amazing minute or 5 minute experience and they say, oh my gosh, I have been, you know, transformed and so forth. And I had a conversion like that, and I love sharing the story because it was during Lent. I don't know if you're familiar with Father Cyprian Consiglio.
No, I haven't heard of him.
He is an artist from Oregon Catholic Press, and he was at our parish doing a Lenten mission, and his topic was on faith, hope, and love. And it was absolutely unbelievable. He totally transformed me. And he is also a musician. And so his words and his music really spoke to me and spoke to my heart. And I just, at that moment, I knew that, first of all, I had a gift that I could share, mm-hmm. and that I was keeping that locked up inside. Mm-hmm. And by using my musical gift that God has given me, that I could possibly have other people have this amazing experience that I had through my music.
Mm-hmm.
So after that time, I just couldn't get enough about our faith. And so I was reading all of these books, and I was learning Catholic apologetics. I was going to daily mass, and I was just practicing our religion in the fullest. And it was a perfect time because my children were so young, and I just felt like, gosh, these are such beautiful years, and I can teach my children
right.
these great things, and it will live on, and I'm continuing doing that. And, you know, a lot of times when I do my, you know, talks, or, you know, even through the different organizations that I'm in, and I talk to these mothers that have children, it's never too late, because I so believe that Catholic education starts from home. And although they may be getting it at mass, or, you know, they go to Catholic schools, it's just parents can make a huge impact. And so I love sharing my miracle stories with everybody about God and my life, and sharing my energy with all age groups.
That's great. That's really good. It is true. It is never too late. And I had two conversion experiences. I had a conversion experience at 16, and I had another one in the 30s.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is. And you know, sometimes you need a tune-up. I mean, it's
yes, you do.
Really, you know, you have to always be open. It really, the faith journey really is every day. You need to wake up in the morning, and you need to recommit to your faith and recommit to Jesus, because it really is a daily thing.
That's exactly right. And just a couple of weeks ago, my our priest, Monsignor Reed, at the cathedral here in Pensacola, his homily was talking about how we need to dialogue about God, and how every day you need to dialogue with people about God and sharing these great stories and experiences, because that's why we're here. And
mm-hmm.
And through that, people, and hearing and listening to other people about how they're excited about it and about what God has done for them, through that, people can have conversions.
Yeah.
You know, conversion experiences, and it's just so great. It really is.
And the music, I think music is a very important tool with regards to softening the heart, preparing the heart for conversion. I think it
absolutely, and that's what I wanted to do with this new album, was with everyone just in the midst of the busyness of life. They say, gosh, you know, I'm so busy, how do you have time to do this or that or
right.
whatever, And by slowing down the heart and listening to inspirational music, you can convert your heart in the right direction. And that is so why God just really moved me to record this new album. And I was just so excited in the direction that he took it, because there are so many people. And I have heard so many people have the CD, and they say, you know, I love listening to it in the car. And that's my time, when I can listen to it when no one else is around. And
yeah, I do.
You can really focus and, you know, get regroup and get back to the center.
It's true. I find that I listen to music for my commute each day. My commute is an hour in one direction, so I'm commuting 2 hours a day, essentially.
Wow.
And a lot of it is in stop-and-go traffic, and I find that listening to music or, you know, singing my rosary or, you know, such things, or praying while I'm listening to chant, it helps me to become more patient. I'm not so aggravated by the traffic. I almost kind of sit there and going, yeah, I want another red light so I can pray a little bit longer.
That's right. Yes, exactly. Well, that just reminded me of something when you said that about praying your rosary. I have something that has really calmed my soul is my daughter and son and I have really become attached to making rope rosaries.
Oh, yeah.
From the Rosary Army.
Yes.
And oh my gosh, it is great. And I actually we went out this weekend with some friends, Kurt and Connie, and we slept out on the beach. We camped out on the beach this weekend. And so today they said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Some people knit and some people crochet, and I make rope rosaries." And they said, "Well, what do you do with them after you make them?" And I said, "I pray them and make them and give them away." So. My soul. World.
It is.
Really is a small world because although I've never met them, but we've sent emails back and forth. It's just, it's such a great community, and that's what I love about it so much.
Yeah. Now, speaking of community, there's a trend that I've been seeing in our Catholic artist community, which I'm sure you've noticed too, because you're part of this compilation CD project that Gary Gerson and Mike Beluda have put together, and maybe you can tell our listeners about it.
Oh, I would love to. Gary and Mike are just on fire. They are just incredible people, and they are working so hard for God. They are just amazing. They have this thought, and they ran with it. And the CD is supposed to come out on the feast day of St. Cecilia, which is in November.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 32 Catholic artists that will be on the CD. There's a praise. It's kind of like the Wow Worship CD. I don't know if the listeners have heard of Wow Worship, but I have all of them, so I'm very familiar with them. So it's a two-part CD. It's two CDs, one praise, one worship, 32 artists with their music, and it's something that the Catholic industry has never done before. Mm-hmm. So it's incredible and very exciting for Catholic music, and the artists that are on it is they're fabulous, and I really think this is going to be a great venture for all of us, mm-hmm. and a great start of something new in the Catholic music industry.
I agree. There's a spirit that's been drawing together artists. The interesting thing about this whole project is there were some simultaneous things going on at the same time that this project
yes.
was being birthed.
That's right.
We had the Catholic Association of Musicians, or now Catholic Association of Music Conference, that took place in the middle of July. And there was definitely, I know you must have felt this too, that there was a definite theme running throughout the conference of let's work for each other.
Unity,
work
right.
for a common goal. Definitely moving away from individuals in their ministries. Jesus did not work by himself. He called 12 disciples to be with him and then had a company that followed him along with the 12. So it's,
right.
you have to work together. And I think that artists are really beginning to realize, you know, it's a tough world out there, and it's very difficult for ministry in particular with the attacks, you know, that come our way. And there isn't always the support that we'd like to see in our local parishes, so that, you know, and people don't know about us. So coming together and doing something such as this compilation CD is a really important move of the spirit, I believe. Now, at the same time that this conference was going on, there is a forum called the CatholicJukebox.com forum.
That's right. I thought you were going to bring that up.
Oh, yes. And on that forum, while we were at the conference, they started a novena to St. Cecilia. So
that's correct. And then you and I joined in on that.
That's right.
Once the day we got back, you and I joined in on that, and then I think a lot of others did as well. And I love my novenas. I've been saying novenas since I was a very young child, so I was just ecstatic that was going on.
It
and then you and I got to join in on it.
It was a wonderful thing, and so we've got... So there were different independent things going on that all spoke of the same theme, and that was let's work together. Let's not promote just ourselves. Let's promote Catholic music as a means of conversion, as a means of healing, as a means of encouragement, nourishment. All these wonderful things that we've experienced because we've listened to it and we know what it does for our lives, and we're just dying to let other people know. But
right.
This is what it does. This is why our sponsor, Grapevine Magazine, was born, because of a desire to let the world know that this music exists. So there are articles that are in the magazine about the artists and about their ministries, and we have CD reviews, we have commentaries about what's going on in Catholic music, we have some teaching-type essays about liturgy and praise music and all kinds of things. We've got 5 issues up now on the website at gvonline.net. We also run a weekly podcast that lets you know what's happening in Catholic music and gives you a little sampling of new CD releases that are coming out. So all these things, and of course the Sacred Heart Music Hour, all these different things are working together to let you know that the music is there and that it's for the taking.
Right. Absolutely, and I truly feel like we are united and we are all in this together, and the energy of the Catholic artists. I mean, coming back from that CAM conference was so rejuvenating, and I felt like, you know, I've got friends all over the world, and it's exciting, because if we ever have an idea that we need to be bounced off of, and we, before you didn't know who to go to, you can, of course, you know, call or email any of your friends mm-hmm. that have been there, done that, or if they haven't, they have an idea of what you could or could not do or whatever. And it's great, because they're in the same boat you're in, and it's just, you can so feel the energy, the vibe, and the love of each one of them. And that's what, is just so wonderful about our community.
Absolutely. For myself, I found a real validation for being involved with Catholic music. Let's face it, a lot of our, you know, regular friends and family, you know, kind of look at us and go, why are you involved in this really obscure thing that nobody knows about? And, you know, if you do this in isolation, you get discouraged really quickly because people around you don't understand why you're involved, why you're so passionate about it, and don't realize that it's a vocation, it's a calling.
Right.
And so it's really important to be connected with other people that are going through the same thing so that we can support each other.
Well, and especially people that are not Catholic who may say, well, you know, why do you do what you do? And, you know, but in the Catholic Church, it's so needed to go into a direction, this new direction, where there's such a need for good music, spiritual people that can feed, you know, I just thought of something. Whenever I was, and this will give you a good example, right before I went to the Midwest Catholic Family Conference, they bring in 5,000 people. And I kept thinking, wow, you know, I really hope that I can reach everyone that I'm supposed to reach at this conference. And God kept telling me, in my soul, He kept saying, you're going to feed 5,000. You're going to feed 5,000. And the weekend before I left, the readings at Mass was the feeding of 5,000. And I thought, God, you're right. You are so right. And I told my husband that. I said, John, it's so amazing how he talks to each one of us, and we just have to recognize it.
That's right.
But of knowing that, he knew that reading was going to be there before he even put that on my heart, and it was just, it's so exciting to see his wonders and, you know.
It really is. And
his signs.
The cool thing is this is what he means, I believe, by being alert and awake, is being able to hear his voice. And it's not always in the most obvious of situations. You really have to be in the spirit to be able to recognize when he's speaking to you. But when you do recognize it, then it's like kind of an ooh moment. It's like, ooh, I just heard this
right.
Secret, you know, or I just, you know,
right.
Heard this wonderful thing that was just for me, you know. And here's this omnipotent, you know, almighty, powerful God who knows the thoughts and feelings of every person on this planet, past, present, and future. I mean, even speaking of this now, it's just beyond my comprehension, and yet he would take the time to give you a word by laying something on your heart so that you would be ready to hear it, and then when you go to Mass, you heard that reading.
I mean, right.
It's just amazing.
Well, I had another miracle that happened to me just a couple nights ago. I was cleaning the dishes, and I don't know if you've ever heard of the Irish lullaby song.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I started singing the Irish lullaby song.
Is that Tura-lura-lura?
That's right.
Oh,
yes.
That makes me
cry. I love that song. Well, that song is one of my very best friends. She grew up with that song, and she taught me that song years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, I'm singing the song, and I said, I've got to call my friend Laura. And so I called her, and she said, that is so weird that you're calling me right now. She said, a song just entered my head a few minutes ago, and I thought of you. And I said, was it the Irish lullaby? And she said, yes. I said, well, you know what? I was just singing it, and that's what made me call you. So it's opening your heart so that you can listen and be still and know that I am God. Know that He is God, and you can listen. And it's just the coolest thing. You've got this great relationship with this amazing being up there, and, you know, of just recognizing and... It's so cool. Isn't it cool?
It really is. It is very, very cool. I'd like to talk about one of your other songs. So far you've said that you have two songs that are some of your favorites on the album. Do you have, like, a number one, the favorite song on your album?
Number one on my album is So My Soul. But number two, and I've already talked about So My Soul, but the number two favorite one, my second in line, is Stories. And Stories talks about the passion of Christ, and it's just so lovely, the melody, and it just talks about his, you know, what he had to go through for us, and the grace that, and it teaches us through what he went through about his power. And Stories is, gosh, I wish you could hear it, because it really touches the heart and the soul.
Sounds lovely. To listen to samples, if you want to listen to samples right now, do you have samples on your old website?
I do, and actually my old website's still up and running, so yes, you can, or go to catholicmusicnetwork.com, and they actually have samples of all the songs on this new album.
So I encourage you and our audience to take a moment, if you're near your computer, to, well, of course you're near your computer because you're listening to this program, take a moment and go to the CatholicMusicNetwork.com and type in Charmaine Adams in the search field for artists, or go to Charmaine's website at www.charmaine.com and take a listen to some of these songs we've been talking about, because they really are beautiful, and they deserve a listen. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention that if you would like to say hello to Charmaine, ask a question, make a comment, please send me an email at susan@gvonline.net. That's susan@gvonline.net. We'd love to hear from you. Charmaine, I have been told that you have a total devotion, as you say, to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, I would love to. We moved to Pensacola, Florida, 4 years ago from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we took a leap of faith and just totally moved without, job. We just said, let's just move to the coast. And it was the prompting of that was through the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I was doing a novena at the time and saying, you know, and it was during Lent, and God kept showing me new life. At that time, I was teaching music at a Catholic school in Tulsa, and he would show me new life through, like, I would go outside my door. I was in a portable, and I'd go outside the door, and he'd show me this little bitty bunny, and then outside in my backyard at home, he'd show me this baby dove, and he'd show me all this stuff, you know, just new life. And so I said, well, you know, I think I'm going to do a novena to the Sacred Heart, and is he calling us to start new life somewhere else? And so we basically told our family and friends and everybody that we were moving to Pensacola, and it was actually before we even visited Pensacola, so they all thought we were crazy. They're like, what are you doing? And so we said, well, we're moving to Pensacola. And so on the ninth day of the novena, we put our house on the market, went to Pensacola. During that visit to Pensacola, we sold our house, or actually we got an offer on our house. Mm-hmm. So it was so fast. It was so quick. It was about a three-week time.
Wow.
And the Sacred Heart of Jesus is so prominent in this town. Now my kids go to school at Sacred Heart Cathedral School. We, our church, our parish is Sacred Heart.
Wow.
I canter there.
Wow.
And the hospital is Sacred Heart. And it's just, and my grandmother, my great-grandmother and my grandmother had a total devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So it's really neat, because I think, you know, I really feel that I'm carrying the Sacred Heart through the family, and it's exciting.
Wow, that's really cool. You have a bookcase in your house that you've told me about that is really fascinating, and you call it the Shadow Box.
Oh yes.
Can you tell us about that?
I would love to share with you all about my Shadow Box. The Shadow Box is miracles that God has without a doubt done in our life, that we know that hands down he has placed a miracle in our family. And there are 12 cubby holes in the Shadow Box, and they're not all filled up yet. It's like one, we, for instance, our, one of the little cubby holes is a little statue of our house back home with the St. Joseph statue.
Mm-hmm.
And we sold our house in 9 days. And then I have St. Therese's little statue, and she gave me a rose on the ninth day of a novena that I said a while back when we were having some difficulty with something. And my daughter had meningitis when she was little, actually when she was a week old.
Oh,
and
my.
We had her, you know, in the hospital, and we really, it was a very scary thing, and I said novenas to 12 different saints.
Wow.
I had 12 novenas going on at the same time.
Wow.
And she was healed from that, and so I have this little picture of her. And so what I do is I just honor, as a family, we honor all of these miracles that God has done. And it's such a great conversation piece, because if people come in and they'll say, now, why do you have some in here and some are, some of these cubbies are empty?
Mm-hmm.
But that just shows that, I mean, every day God gives us miracles, but the huge stuff that you want to share with everybody
mm-hmm.
about, it truly brings unity to the family, and you can share those great miracles with, you know, with people that come into your house. So it's great.
I would think that something like that too, it's a very visual, it's a thing that you can look at and remind yourself of, that you need to be grateful, that you need to have a grateful heart at all times, and that it really makes a difference in your whole attitude of life when you have a grateful heart. It really, that joy that God has placed in you really springs forth when you're full of gratitude for all the blessings that He's given you.
Oh, I totally agree with you on that.
Have you detailed on your website any information about this shadow box? Because I would think this is something that people might be interested in starting for themselves.
No, but I should. I should do that. That's something that I will probably.
I would read it, because
that's,
I think I would like to start one, and I would love to hear, I'd like to see in writing, and perhaps a picture, if you could put a picture up on your website of the shadow box and just show everybody what you've done. I think this is a really wonderful way for people to remind themselves of their blessings. I mean, even as you were describing the different blessings that you had experienced and that you have placed in your shadow box, I was thinking of blessings in my life that I needed to be reminded of.
Right. Oh, yes. Everybody has blessings that they need to be reminded of, and having that, just kind of like, you know, some people journal. Well, I have the shadow box that has these visual, tangible miracles that He's done. And one other one that I just thought of, right after we moved to Pensacola, I had told my husband, I said, you know, just to affirm, I know that we're supposed to be here, but I just want to just make absolutely sure that we're supposed to be here. So if God could just, if we could be on the beach today, and if He could just give us three sand dollars, that would just, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
that would just seal the deal. And John said, okay, well, yeah, we'll look. I don't know if we'll find any. And that day we found three sand dollars.
Wow.
So I have three sand dollars mm-hmm. in that shadow box, and, you know, it's just beautiful. I love it.
Oh, that's great. I had every intention of saving my St. Joseph statue when we sold our condominium. We sold our condominium in one day and we got a buyer who waived the inspection, so that we saved, we probably saved about $3,000 or $4,000 because he waived the inspection, because otherwise we had to replace the carpet and do some other things. And I couldn't find it. I knew where it was buried, and I dug and I dug and I dug.
No.
And I couldn't find it. So then I determined, okay, it's supposed to be left behind.
That's
to give
right.
blessings to the next family who you know was going to be there. So
I fully believe that.
Yeah.
Definitely. So he could look over the next family.
Exactly. So, but I haven't forgotten you, St. Joseph. Couldn't find you.
Well, you can always get another one.
That's right. Well, we have a statue of the Holy Family, so I do have a
perfect
statue in my house. So.
Right, and so you're honoring him,
exactly.
And that's my thing, is if you know, you say a novena, then you honor them in your home somewhere, and I have my shadow box, so.
That's excellent. See, there's many, this is the one of the purposes of this program, is we want to give you a really well-rounded picture of what these Catholic artists are about, that they're not just about singing songs, that these people have really vibrant, faith lives, they have families, they're really wonderful people to get to know, and I'm hoping that as you get to know different artists from week to week on this program, that you will take them to your heart and that you will listen to their music and kind of feel like, I'm visiting a friend. That's how I feel when I listen to the music. I really enjoy getting to know each person through their music, through talking to them, and I think it's a great way to, you know, develop a relationship and to really deepen your own relationship with the Lord.
Right.
Now, you are involved in a very special ministry called the Confraternity of Christian Mothers. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. I started the Confraternity of Christian Mothers in the Pensacola-Tallahassee Diocese 2 years ago, and I was part of the Confraternity of Christian Mothers in Oklahoma, and so once we moved here, I thought, you know, I looked into it to see if there were any chapters here, and there were not, and it's a great organization for mothers because it's simple. Like I said, everybody's busy. Everybody has, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I can't even do a Bible study because you just, there's just too much going on and I can't make the time to do my homework and so forth.
Right.
Well, the Confraternity of Christian Mothers is devoted to Our Lady of Sorrows. And what we do is we meet every first Friday of the month for Mass, adoration, and we pray the chaplet of Our Lady of Sorrow. And then we say our prayers for our children. So what we do is we pray for our children, all the children of the world, and all the unborn children.
Oh.
So it's really lovely because we have these great moms that, you know, we're praying for. And most of the confraternities of Christian mothers throughout the world meet every first Friday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So we're joined together with all the other moms, and it's such a sweet, simple, very prayerful, quiet, you know, afterwards we leave. And but we did just adopt the Alpha Center because we just celebrated our second year anniversary during the feast day of Our Lady of Sorrows, and the Alpha Center is a pregnancy center that is located here in Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just kicked off a fundraiser campaign to raise funds for them to help ladies and babies that that need assistance.
Hmm.
So it's a great organization, and I just would so encourage, I mean, even if you are interested in it and you don't know enough about it and you want to learn more, to get on my website and go to the contact page and just shoot me an email, and I would love to share with you because I think it's so important that everybody have one in their diocese.
Mm-hmm.
So that ladies can devote, you know, one first Friday a month to praying for our children and the children of the world because they are our future, and it's so important that they, you know, can instill the faith and love of God that, you know, this world so needs.
And I, especially now, I would imagine, you know, with all the things that have been going on in the past couple of weeks with, you know, these horrendous things that have been going on in the schools, you know, with these shootings. And I mean, there's a real need for this sort of thing. It's interesting, while you were telling me, telling our listeners about this group, I realized that I have this little book. I did acrobatics to try to grab it without
Is it called Mother Love? Mother's Love?
Yes.
Oh, you have the book!
I have the book. I remember
that.
What was funny, I also did acrobatics to get to where it was because Charmaine had sent me this beautiful rosary several months ago. The reason escapes me at the moment, but she sent me this beautiful rosary. I think it was your grandmother's rosary, is that what it was?
Uh-huh.
And so I thought to myself, you know, I really feel a need right now to be holding a rosary in my hands. And so as she was speaking of her grandmother, I thought, oh, I want that rosary.
Oh.
I love just holding the rosary in my hand, just even if I don't pray it a lot of times at night.
Well, it gives you comfort.
Pardon me?
It totally gives you comfort.
Oh, it does. The minute I put it in my hands, it really did give me a lot of comfort. But then I remembered, oh, yes, I have this book, and I think it's from the Conference of
Jesus. It is such a great book, and you get to pray for your children's future, like for their future spouse or vocation of the priesthood, which I'm so passionate about that. We so need more priests in our churches, and so I'm so glad you have that book. That's really exciting to me.
This book has every prayer and devotion you could possibly want. It's got morning prayers. It's got the whole rosary. It's got, prayer to St. Michael. They've got prayers for special needs. I mean, it's the structure of the Mass. It has everything. I mean,
I'm holding my book, too, right now. I feel bonded to you, Susan.
I know.
We're bonded. Oh, I love it.
I know.
Great.
That's great. So, yeah, this is a real, legit organization. We both have the book.
Well, it was started in England back in the early 1800s.
Wow.
So this has been going on for a very long time, and it's just, like I said, a beautiful organization, and I would so encourage you, please send me an email if you are interested, because I could even come to your church and speak on it, or I could send you all the information, because it's just a fantastic organization.
So be sure and visit Charmaine's website at www.charmaine.com, and there's a link there for the Confraternity of Christian Mothers. Is that right?
No, you can go to my contact page.
Oh, the contact page. Okay.
Right, and just say that you're interested in getting more information. The Confraternity of Christian Mothers does have a in the United States that they have the Arch chapter.
That's right.
So, and I can give you all of that information.
Great. Yeah, it's a very, I mean, the book is wonderful. It's my favorite devotional book, and it's a really wonderful, wonderful organization. I just want to review, we only have a few minutes left, believe it or not, and I just want to review the songs that will be appearing on the podcast of this broadcast. So make sure, the podcast should be up in a couple of days. Make sure you visit sacredheartradio.net. On the very first page, you will see a little link that says past shows. Click on that, and you'll get to an archive of all the past shows of the Sacred Heart Music Hour. Click on Charmaine's broadcast, and make sure you take a listen to the songs. They are very beautiful, and the songs that will be on there are With Every Breath, Child of God, So My Soul, Lamb of God, and Story. And they're all off of her CD, Charmaine, which you can get on her website, and you can also get through the CatholicMusicNetwork.com. Charmaine, do you have any engagements coming up?
Actually, this coming weekend, I will be here locally in Pensacola. There is a fall festival it's in Milton, Florida, which is not very far from here, at St. Rose of Lima Parish. So I will be there this Friday night at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m.
Right.
So yes.
So that will be wonderful. I have to ask you. This is a silly question that has absolutely nothing to do with music, but but I've been thinking it the whole time when you said that you came from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Is your accent from Tulsa or is it a Florida accent?
Oh, I don't have an accent. You have an accent. What are you talking about?
We both have accents.
I don't know. Gosh, that's a good question. Let me ponder that. I don't know. But you made me speechless.
I've been thinking about that silly question the whole hour, especially when you mentioned Tulsa, because when I first spoke with you for the first time, your accent sounded very southern to me, and so I thought, oh yes, you know, Florida, that makes sense, you know. And then when you said Oklahoma, I thought, Oh, I wonder if it's, I wonder if your accent's evolved at all, because the Southern accent is so infectious. I mean, you really, it's like the, you know, it's almost like an English accent in that it's so pretty and just cool to listen to that you start doing it, you know, and it's just.
Now, do I have an accent when I sing?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm teasing.
Some people do, though. I mean, that's why you.
Yeah.
I mean, some British, if you listen to British singers, sometimes you can hear the British accent, or, you know, if you have people from other countries, sometimes you can pick up the accent. But other people, you can't tell.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Well, good question, but I'm sorry I don't have an answer. Now, see, a Pensacola is you know, of course, on the panhandle of Florida. So we're very close to, because people will say, you're from Florida, and they think, you know, Miami or Tampa.
Right.
Well, people in Tampa and Miami and Orlando totally think I have an accent.
Hmm.
But, you know, we're very southern, because we're just about 25 miles from Alabama.
Right.
So I don't know why I even had to say that, but I just feel like I guess I don't have a Tampa accent, or I don't know. So.
Well, there's a lot of people that have relocated to Florida, and so
right.
I've met many people who live in Florida who don't sound like they're Floridians at all. So
that's exactly right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, okay. How many children do you have?
Two. I have an 11-year-old son and a 9-year-old daughter.
Oh, great ages.
Oh, I know. I just love them. They're just the joy of my life, and I told you that we make groceries together, so we have a lot of fun. We do.
That's really wonderful. My children are nearly grown, 18 and 20, so very fast.
Oh, I know, but you still have fun with them. Now you have the adult relationship
with
them.
Yeah.
It's
challenging, but it but it does work.
Yeah.
Well, Charmaine, thank you so much for being with us tonight. I'm sorry that we didn't have your music to play, but again, I encourage everyone to listen to the podcast later this week on sacredheartradio.net, and go to her website at www.charmaine.com and listen to samples there, because it's well worth the listen. And I really thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me, Susan. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and it was especially this evening. So I had a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stories of your grace
time.